What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. This is back. This is special. Like, this is my first time ever. I'm doing a back-to-back interview. It's a big deal, right? So this is episode 29. So, but still, like, subscribe, share. This is What You Scared to Say podcast season 3. And now I have with me Miss Alfie Goodwin of the 5th District, correct?
5th Congressional District.
So you are running for U.S. Congress. And this is a big thing. I told David before you that I don't normally title my episodes, but not my in-house ones. All my live shows I do because live shows are different, but mm-hmm. I'm treating this like this is a rock star moment for me. And I'm honored that you are here.
Oh, thank you.
So when I start looking at you and your campaign and what you got going on, I'm like, oh, okay. You got a warrior princess here, you know? Right.
When I saw that, I said, oh my God.
Yeah, no, because it takes bravery to be different, to think different. So before we get started, I'm being rude. Do you want to say hello to the people first?
Yes, of course. Yeah. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you so much for asking me.
No problem.
And my name is Alfie Goodwin. I am running for the 5th Congressional District, which covers Delaware County, a portion of Montgomery County, a small portion of Southwest Philly, and South Philly. All of them are equally important.
Okay.
And I ask for your vote.
Yeah, please, please. It's very imperative this year. Can't sit at home for this one.
Right.
So I gotta get right to it. You know, we gotta get right to some good ones. I gotta take this opportunity because we have a lot of people watching. We have a lot of men to watch. We have a lot of women to watch. And I gotta ask you, you're not with her. And what I mean by that is, you know, her slogan is, you know, are you with her? Like, you know, like, and because you're black, because you're a woman. And I wanted mm-hmm. to know, and you're running for politics, you're running for office. So my real question to this is, would you want people to vote for you strictly because you are a woman and strictly because you're black?
No.
And so, okay, this is straightforward. No, why could you educate people? Could you explain to people why that is dangerous? Why identity politics, you know, you don't want to be defined by that?
Oh my goodness. Well, first portion mm-hmm. with her,
right?
You know, it,
yeah, I had to start it out like yeah. that. I know it's loaded.
I know. I'm about to go into a rant.
It's your floor.
It's this time last year, mm-hmm. The Democrats were saying they didn't know what a woman was.
This is true.
Okay, but now they know.
Right.
Now is definitely, are you with her?
Okay.
Not to mention the fact that a VP Harris, as a presidential candidate, mm-hmm. didn't even have a primary. Mm. It's like, really?
They told you to vote for her. They told you to support her during this election.
Right. And see, and that's a problem because this is not high school student government.
Right. It's a big deal.
Yeah, this is a big deal.
The leader of our military.
The highest office. It's not a game.
Right.
And I think this is being projected as if this is some type of student government something,
right?
You know,
let's just vote for her because she's a woman and because she's, but not because she's qualified, not look at her history, not seeing what she's done. And that, and the reason why I don't want to make it solely about her, because this is your interview, mm-hmm. but it's just easy to correlate it, because I said, oh well, you know, I have a woman mm-hmm. here, you know, I want to see how does she want to be defined when you're asking voters to come out, especially in Philly. Should they be thinking the same way? How they looking at Kamala? Or do you want to be looked at for your track record, which you're capable of, which you're saying you can deliver on?
Well, see, this is the problem. It is an undeniable truth. You can't ignore the fact that I am a woman, that right. I am a woman of color, that right. I am a black woman. You can't ignore that. The problem when we're talking about qualifications mm-hmm. is this is not a check the block moment of, you know, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. Therefore, mm-hmm. the next step is president. No, that's not what this is. And in her case, her professional value system does not align with the values of the Constitution.
Okay.
And if we look at her track record in terms of policy in any tenure that she's had, her policy does not align with the best interests of the American people. So it is of no consequence whether we're talking about a man, a woman, a black person, a white. All of that is just noconsequence.com. It's a smokescreen. It's just another candy.
Right.
That's it. It's just, as you said, it's just more identity politics.
Right.
To say, we want to have a woman. Mm-hmm. We've tried that before with Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Or we need to have, and we do, but not that woman.
Right. I get you.
Or we need to have a black person, a person of color.
Right.
Yeah, sure. But not.
Not that one. Yeah, let's just. I think we can do one. Better than what we're trying to force in there.
Yeah, we're not just going to say, this block is checked, that block is checked.
Right.
So let's just go for broke, Free Willy.
Okay.
This is too important to do that. Now, as I said, if we were talking about a high school student government, that's different. That's not what we're talking about. Right. We're talking about the highest office.
Right. Okay, so I like that you brought up the I feel like it's like always this type of like connection when I'm talking to somebody, they'll say something and it leads me into what I wanted to ask next, and it just flows perfectly, right? So when you bring up, high school or, student government, things like that, you're an educator. And I am.
Thank you.
Right. You're an educator. I think that's one of the things that you are fighting for. I've seen that. I'm like, what does Miss Alfie believe? She wants to fight for children, things like that. When we hear about the Republican Party and they talk about how the Board of Education has failed us, we have a group of people, our people in Philadelphia, they hear that and be like, they want to go against the Board of Education. They want to take education or schools away. Like, could you educate us of how the Board of Education has failed us? You're inside of the system. You work for the system. Where are we lacking at? How have they failed the children? Where are the children being failed at? Could you give that explanation?
The Department of Education is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Too huge.
Okay.
It's too big.
Too big.
It's too big. It's gigantic.
Right.
It's to the point where parents are fighting against this organization. Why?
Right.
And not only is it ginormous, but it's like a spider web inside of that. So let's say, for example, if a parent has an issue with a book that they don't want their child reading,
I'm going there, right.
Then first thing, most parents probably don't even know that most schools don't have libraries anymore. The libraries are now in the classroom. You remember like it used to be an actual library. That's a thing of the past. So then you need to get in contact with the teacher and find out her list or his list of books that are in the classroom if they want to provide you with that. Mm-hmm. If they don't,
they don't have to.
Yeah,
that's wild.
Yeah, so it's too much power over a child. I mean, we can talk about that. We can talk about how we have children that are becoming a transgender.
Right.
And a lot of it takes place in school. And
they're being groomed inside of the school.
Yes, they're way too young. Mm-hmm. They're way too young.
Right.
So you have children going through a radical surgery. 12 years old, 13 years old. I know when I was that age, if I had a fever, I stayed home. That's all there is to it. I was like, falling out, dying over a fever.
Right.
But now we're talking about putting kids through an unnecessary surgery. This is not a surgery. This is not a sense to save their life.
Right.
This is based on a belief system that a child really.
Right.
And it's just.
See, I think parents, when they hear this, a lot could get on board with that, right? If they're getting educated about it.
Right.
Where they're not on board with, and can you explain, because you are a woman and you are a woman of color, and I want to get educated. I want to learn, because I'm still learning as I go. I'm new to the party. I used to be in the Matrix. I'm unplugged now. So what I want to know is critical race theory, right?
Okay.
So I want to know, why does our party, the Republican Party, why would they be against critical race theory? Because I know when bills are getting passed and legislation is being brought up, all right, they might have something in there where they'd be like, all right, we don't want our kids learning about this in a book, a sex educational book, or they're too young. But then they'll have something else with the critical race theory thrown in there as well. Mm-hmm. So, and this is where, a lot of things get brought up. Could you explain why is that harmful to, the have critical race theory in the schools?
The problem with CRT is I'm going to call it a curriculum program.
Okay.
That it has. This is similar to a DEI is more of a professional.
Right.
It's headed in that level of labor and employment. Okay. And then CRT is the education wing of what it leads to is communism.
Gotcha.
So this is moving, it's creating wings that are able to move society, basically. So to answer the question, the problem with CRT, like, let's look at something like what has taken place with George Floyd.
Okay.
It's not okay, number one, that he's dead. That's not okay. It isn't okay how he died. That isn't okay either. The extremity is taking place. So what we're looking at, and I'm a soldier, so I have a tendency to look at things from the perspective of removal and replacement. So the message with CRT and the way that Mr. Floyd has been propped up, the underlining message is we are going to remove the Benjamin Bannekers, the Booker T. Washingtons. We're going to remove Ida B. Wells and Dr. Carson and General Powell. We're going to remove the Titans, the scholars. This is your Pharaoh.
Okay.
Mr. Floyd.
Got you.
So we're going to remove the scholars and replace them with something you can be.
Right. I understand that.
This is your Pharaoh. This is who and what represents you. And if you don't believe me, you can ask any Black child across America that goes to public school. Right. Who was Booker T. Washington?
Right.
They have no idea.
Right.
But they know who George Floyd is.
Oh, okay. Why? Okay.
So,
yeah.
Right. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, so this is a removal and a replacement that has taken place.
Okay.
That's what's wrong with it. Right. It's not that it's wrong to teach the history of the ADOS, the American descendant of slaves, or FBA, the foundational Black Americans. It's not that that is wrong. Okay. It's just, it's more of, why is this the focus? It's similar to the DNC, Planned Parenthood setting up the RVs, the abortion RVs, abortion vasectomy.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah.
And actually, just recently, someone said to me, well, Alfie, why do you have a problem with that?
Right.
And I said, well, why aren't the RVs at the border?
Right.
Why aren't they offering immigrants, illegal immigrants? Why aren't they offering them abortions and vasectomies?
Right.
And they said, well, don't you think that's racist? Oh, okay.
The irony, right? Why,
yeah.
Why,
okay. Yeah. Right. So it's racist and morally and ethically wrong to offer illegal immigrants abortions and vasectomies, but it is okay,
to give it to our people of our community. And we lead, our African American lead in abortions.
Yes.
So that leads me to my next. I know we're jumping.
No,
but
it's okay, because it's the number one killer of Black people in this country.
Exactly. So this I just love this, that, you know, we have a woman here. We have a prominent woman. The woman, you're trying to, princess warrior. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Sincerely, because you are a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
So from your standpoint, when they talk about everything that I see that the left talk about, they paint it with a broad paintbrush. You know, we just talked about critical race theory is broad. They don't tell you about the details about why the opposition, why the other side don't want that in there. It's not that they just want to complete. No, let me tell you what they're really trying to do, the propaganda that they're trying to prop up in front of you. So you being, you know, a woman, and especially a woman of color, and we just gave the stat that we lead in abortions. Why do you feel, you know, women shouldn't have that right to kill their children?
A woman should have the right, and a woman does have the right.
Okay.
Do I agree with it? No. Okay. I am pro-life. 110%.
Right. Okay.
But I do understand there are exceptions.
Right. It's rape, incest. Yes. The woman's health is in danger, you know, things of that nature. I think that's like common sense things people can get behind. But then you have the other side where they like, no, a woman should have the right, no matter what, no matter how many weeks, no matter how many months the child is. And they just paint this broad brush. And to me, I feel like the Republicans, they talk about family. They talk about a man being in the house. They talk about empowering the family. And that, you know, if you can't do it, then give the child up for adoption. You know, they talk about, I don't know how do we argue against life?
Right.
Like I had to stop looking at it. Like, you know what? This is crazy. Like we really having a conversation about whether somebody can kill their child or not. Like, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. And we talk about these things, and one of the things, like with the Democratic Party, as I said, I was just having a conversation about this.
Yeah.
And I was saying to a friend of mine who is a registered Democrat, I said, well, why hasn't the Democratic Party apologized? And he said, apologize for what? And I said, well, we can start with slavery.
Right.
And then we could go to the Jim Crow legislation.
Because that was all strutting on their side. Right.
Yeah, we could talk about the Ku Klux Klan.
Right.
And then we can
the Democratic Party.
Yeah, we could talk about Margaret Sanger, the psychopath.
Right.
If I think it's chapter two. Abortion should start with the Negro.
Right. Exactly.
And they are true to Margaret Sanger as an icon and a hero. They've never apologized to us.
Right.
For all of the Black lives that they have destroyed and continue to destroy.
Right.
They've never said, hey, Black people, you know, my bad. They've never done that. But then on the same token, these are the same people who claim that they want reparations. Right. How can reparations be demanded when these are the people who have not apologized or shown any sense of remorse for doing anything wrong?
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
It's crazy.
It doesn't make sense.
Right. I told somebody this, me and my friend, we having this talk, right? Because, you know, once you get out the matrix, you just see things so differently. So we got somebody at the top of the ticket. We got Mr. Donald J. Trump or whatever. And this, trust me, this interview is definitely all about Miss Alfie Goodwin. But, you know, in the party that, you know, that we're both a part of. And I just love the ideology and the philosophy behind things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we get propaganda that's put out there and, you know, it's ridiculous and it's a distraction. And it's just sick. I don't even like playing these games about who did this or who did this. I want to talk about the issues. I want to talk about, you know, what's really going on with people because people are hurting.
Yes. Well, this is the thing with President Trump I wrote my dissertation on restorative justice and recidivism.
Okay.
I looked at nonviolent offenders from an East Coast perspective. And one of the things that I find to be peculiar is just a year and a half ago, Democrats were talking about restorative justice and nonviolent offenders. And, you know, we should let nonviolent offenders go and they're only a threat to themselves, not to society.
Right.
You know, and then and now all of a sudden it's a whoa, lock them up, lock them up.
Right.
And what's her face on what's that show? The Witches of Eastwick? The View or something?
Oh, The View. Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, no, the other one. Sunny.
Sunny.
Cloudy,
she was
whatever.
A prosecutor or something like that.
I believe. She was talking about send them to Rikers Island.
Yeah.
And I said, now, wait a minute. Now, if memory serves me correctly, Rikers Island was started by the Rikers family, and it was a slave breaking quarters for Black people in this country.
Okay.
But we can even take it up to a current and contemporary times and what Rikers Island did to Caliph Browder. And he is dead.
Right.
Rikers Island should be shut down.
Absolutely.
Period.
Absolutely.
But because now is Donald J. Trump, now right. it's keep it open.
Right.
Okay. He should go there now.
Right.
This is not justice. This is lawfare.
Right.
So these are people who, in fact, are willing to forget all of the lies, all of the Black people, all of the ancestors who were destroyed at that horrible place and people whose lives are still being destroyed there. Right. They're willing to forget all of that to lock up one white man.
Yeah.
And he's the white supremacist? Yeah. Really?
Oh, but the guy who's in office now, he was the one who gave the eulogy at, what's his name, Byrd's funeral, the former Klan member. So they don't talk about things like this.
No.
Like Biden was the one who gave the eulogy at a former Klan member's funeral. Mm-hmm. But this guy's the racist over here who's trying to, you know, save the country. It's the goofiness.
Well, President Biden, and I really feel empathy for him because I feel that it was a nonviolent coup d'etat that took place.
Right.
I think he, as a senator, he served for 50 years, which personally I'm all for term limits. I think that's a bit much.
Yeah, need that.
But he did serve.
Right.
And when we talk about VP Harris and the way she dragged him during a debate and really just threw him under the bus.
Bussing. They accused him of bussing. And all of that.
Literally threw him under the bus.
Right.
And we look at how he still selected her to be his VP. He was very good to her.
Right. He was.
And by no
caught
means.
Caught him off guard.
Yeah.
When she said that, he looked like. What?
Yeah, he couldn't believe it. You could see it on his face.
He was hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was still very good to her in terms of her career and what he has permitted her to do. I mean, he appointed her as border czar, and we already know that that's a fantasy.
Right.
But to push him out of the seat,
to
me, it was ruthless.
Yeah. Where's the democracy in that and how she was about going about power?
There isn't any.
Yeah. So they pick and choose. One of the last things I want to ask you, we're going to bring you back because, you know, I have so many wonderful things I want to dive deep in. Like, I can tell you got so many wonderful things to school me on and educate me on.
Thank
you being the natural educator that you are. you're a retired police officer now, right?
Right, right.
So you, and you also, like you said, you served in the military. So you are a woman of discipline. You are a woman of structure. You.
You
are a woman of no nonsense. You know, you pay attention to detail, you know, seriously, this is sincere. So I think it's important to educate people when they hear about what Donald Trump wants to do and they hear broad things getting thrown out there, police immunity. And this, I want to, if you can break this down, what did he mean by police immunity? Because people had this idea that police officers are going to be able to walk down the street, commit a crime, shoot somebody in the head, and then they're not going to be able to go to, you know, they can do whatever they want to do. So if you being a former police officer, could you, you know, break that down and explain what the police immunity thing is?
Yeah, it doesn't mean that a police officer could literally walk down the street and shoot someone and keep going. But what it does mean is that a police officer has the legal protections that policing deserves.
Okay.
That's what it means.
It's a tough job.
It's a tough job. I mean, you're working crazy hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a cop here in Philly.
Right.
You're wearing 35 to 40 pounds of equipment in the heat, in the cold, in the rain. It's insane. Not to mention in Philadelphia, police officers pay the highest percentage of medical copay. They pay the highest percentage of alimony and child support. If you're married to a police officer for 5 years and it doesn't work, you get half their pension. Police officers in Philadelphia have no social security, which is the reason why I have this, because I support HR 82, which is the Social Security and Fairness Act.
Okay.
And most people don't know that. That's police officers in Philadelphia do not collect social security.
Right.
You have your pension and you get another job.
Right.
Is what takes place.
Okay.
So it's really something that people do because they love the city and they want the city to remain safe.
Right.
But speaking of police brutality in the numbers. Let's say, for example, when I was in the 6th district, which was my last district, we would have like maybe 60,000 numbers at the end of the year. So a number is generated with every police encounter. Okay. So in 2022, no, I'll go back to 21. Let's say if the 6th district, the 3rd district, 39th, I've worked in all three of those, didn't have any reports of police brutality. Or let's say even had one, but generated 60,000 numbers. That's 60,000 encounters. So, but one was really messed up where the officer was unprofessional and, you know. So is it fair to take the other 59,999 encounters where there are no reports of police misconduct? Everyone is happy with police service. They're so glad the cops came out. 59,999 encounters that were perfect, but one wasn't. So defund them.
Right. Make it make sense. Right.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Right. Does that make sense? That's crazy.
Right.
It's crazy. And my opponent, Mary Gay Scanlon, supported defunding the police and marched and encouraged it. Yeah. Now, Philadelphia is losing, what, 850 cops this year?
Right.
When I left in 2022, when I retired, I was one of 500.
Right.
That's very serious.
That's a serious thing.
Yeah, because the thing is, Philadelphia is a city of the first class. So it's a city and a county. So if you're a cop in Philly, you could do a lateral transfer to a county, which is the reason why a lot of cops are going to Florida.
Okay.
That yeah. Makes sense. Because you're getting both. You're getting training. Like the training in the academy, Philadelphia Academy, is very good.
Right. Okay.
So you're receiving training and certifications in both.
Gotcha.
Count what in Philly, what we refer to as county hours and city hours.
Okay.
So it was very easy to do a lateral transfer. When I was in the 6th, oh my goodness, during the whole riots and the BLM thing, and I worked the riots, they used to come over the fax machines, like different police counties from all over the country. They
right.
They would fax us their applications.
Right. Wow.
Yes. They like
yeah,
they
yeah, that's major.
Yeah, they would just straight up fax them to the district. Like, right. Look, come here.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, come to our city. So it's really a terrible thing that has taken place. And it was really a power grab of the Democratic Party.
Exactly.
It's what they did. They saw the opportunity to grab power. And they took it.
They took
and
it.
They did so in total disregard to what the American people would experience as a direct result.
For people to see 400 murders a year, 500 murders a year, and think that's going to be solved, and think, you know, police officers are going to have the energy to put their lives on the line, they get out there and protect the community when they get disrespected, spoken about, spat on, they don't get celebrated in the city at all.
Right.
So it's like, you know, they'll... So it's just like, let's celebrate the 59,000. Let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate the encounters that we had that did go well. People's lives that were saved. When somebody's son got shot and the police officer had to scrape that person up and put them in the back of the police car and take them to the hospital and didn't wait for the ambulance. Or somebody got to go deliver bad news. Or somebody got to just put their body in a line of fire. That's something we don't celebrate that, but we celebrate one idiot who decided to handle a situation poorly. So that's what we big up.
Right. And see, and again, that goes back to that same technique of removal and replacement.
Right.
So we're going to remove the police. Mm-hmm. What are we going to replace them with?
Right.
Who's going to go looking for Auntie's car when Raheem or whoever takes it for a joyride?
Okay.
You know, who's going to do this job
since you want to defund the police and take away the police?
Right.
Demilitarize the police is what they'll say.
Right. Or who's going to run into the house that's on fire and get this family out? Who's going to do that?
Who's going
to
do it?
And if they are not willing to do those things, then don't remove what is in place.
Exactly.
So that's what took place with the defunding the police. It was not a removal and replacement. It was, okay, we removed them. Now you have nothing.
Right.
So what are you saying? that we crime should just be at record level and that's just our life.
That's insanity.
Yeah.
One thing I want to do before I get you out of here. Okay, yeah. I want you to speak about what you have there as well. Go into a little bit more detail. Number two, okay. One thing too, because you just have so much knowledge for me and you brought up Social Security with police officers. So I hear a lot of the fear that the Republicans want to kill, want to take away Social Security. They want to take that away from especially people that's older and things. So do you want to correct? Well, it's not even you want to expound upon that and what that's really about and what do you have here?
Oh, yeah. I just have this from Congress. This is, as I say, H.R. 82, Social Security Fairness Act. Okay. And every congressperson should vote yes.
Okay.
For this, for a law enforcement. Mm. It doesn't even make sense that it's even something that we're even talking about.
Right. It should be a no-brainer.
It really should. Mm. And then, of course, my opponent, Scanlon, actually as recent as May 16th, voted nay on the Police Our Borders Act. Mm. Why would anyone do that?
Right.
If you don't have a border, you don't have a country.
Facts.
Period.
Right.
It is the same thing as your front door. If the front door of your home is wide open, what are you saying?
Right.
When you buy a house, this is the first thing you find out. It's the property line.
Right.
I mean, that's true. That's like, right?
Right, that's real.
That's the first thing you want to know. Is right.
You want to feel protected in your home. And this is our home and we don't feel protected. Where's the walls right. at? Where's the border?
That's what you want to know.
Yeah, can I put security.
Can I put a pool here? Yeah. Can I not? Where does my trash go? That's what you want to know. Exactly. So to say that our borders shouldn't be police is just insane. Yeah. It is insane.
Right.
It's insanity. So again, if we don't have a border, what do we have?
Right.
What are you saying?
Right. It's not a country.
It's not a country.
Right.
Is that where they're going with this? Because I think it is.
Purposely, though. They're not idiots. They're doing this. They sit in a room and say, you know what? We can expand our voter base and mm-hmm. we can get more people to vote for the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. If we let them come in here, give them free health care, give them housing.
Right.
Just bring them in here and make them all Democrats and we'll stay in power.
And
we'll stay in power. So I think that's what the play is. Mm-hmm. Clearly, it got to be.
But see... Again, it's sacrificing the American people
right.
for their own interests.
But people have to wake up and see this before it's too late because that's what they're doing.
Yes, people have to wake up and see that these people are career politicians.
Right.
They have, don't get me started with term limits again.
Right.
And they simply do not have the best interests of the American people at heart.
Before we get you out of here, I want you to speak to, you know, your base. I want you to speak to especially the 5th District. Let them know why they should be voting for you, why they should turn out for you.
Oh, thank you. Well, there's so many reasons.
Right.
You know, I believe, I'm not just talking. Right. We need a border. Right, right now, I like to say we have chaos at the border. We need order at the border. We have crime at record levels. We were talking about schools and education. There is a lack of transparency in our children's education. And as a parent, I have three adult children, 31, 29, and 27. I mean, parents need to know. You need to know what they're teaching your child, what books they're reading. You need to know these things. So these are things that... I will definitely fight for. I see that we have a weaponized justice system. As I say, we have a lawfare happening. We have retaliation. We must take politics out of policing. We have to.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Let's fight for it.
We must. Right. We must fight for it. So I believe that we have a country to save, and I'm giving it all I can.
Let's get it. Let's do it. Guys, thank you, Ms. Alfie Goodwin. We're going to bring her back. I promise you. She has so much more to educate us on. Okay. So What You Scared to Say podcast, season 3, episode 29, a princess warrior story, a warrior princess story. So we'll be back. Thank you guys. Like, subscribe, share.